Good morning. Today's daf Masechta Sadi Hey. We're in the Mishnah, the very top of the Amud. Here in the ninth parak of the Masechta, we're talking about Karban Pesach. The Mishnah over here are very basic in terms of what is included in bringing the Pesach Sheni, and what is not going to be included in the Pesach Sheni. So as we have been discussing, and this is now our third and a half daf of this ninth parak. So if a person does not bring Pesach Rishon, so he has a makeup date. The makeup date is going to be Pesach Sheni, the 14th day of Iyar, in which a person will have an opportunity to bring a Karban Pesach. We already spoke about a very basic discussion that we had just a couple days ago in terms of Pesach Sheni and its relationship to Pesach Rishon. Is it an independent yantav altogether? That was Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Or is it more of a makeup date? And then there was a third opinion, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, that the that Pesach Sheni can actually not only be a makeup for Pesach Rishon, but can actually salvage you in the event that, let's say, you have a coverage liability that's on the books. You intentionally didn't bring Pesach Rishon. You can bring Pesach Sheni, and that will remove the Issur Karis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. The Gemara has continued its discussion in terms of who's going to be exempt from Pesach Rishon, therefore going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And now the Mishnah over here, very simple, very straightforward. What exactly is accompanying Pesach Sheni, the carbon itself, and what's in, what's out? Let's begin our Mishnah. Ba mein Pesach Rishon l'Sheni. So we're going to highlight both similarities and differences between the Karban Pesach Rishon and the Karban Pesach Sheni. So HaRishon Asur Beval Yerov Vayimatzeh, VaHasheni Chametz Umatzeh Imo Bavai. So when it comes to Pesach Rishon, so one is going to be in violation of Val Yerov Vayimatzeh, which is the prohibition of owning Chametz. When it comes to the Pesach Sheni, so you're allowed to own Chametz. There's no prohibition of Chametz ownership, and so you can own it. Now when it comes to Pesach Sheni, so we're talking about the 14th day of Iyar. Which then, if we are looking at the similarity, so that means that we're talking about the 14th day of Nisan as it relates to Pesach Rishon. Interesting, because when does the Isser of Bal Yerov Vayimatzeh kick in? So certainly for the 7 days of Pesach, there's an Isser of Bal Yerov Vayimatzeh. You're not allowed to own Pesach for the 7 days. What about the afternoon of the 14th? So we already discussed that in the beginning of the Masechta. Now certainly there's an Isser Achila. There's an Isser Achila Midaraisa from Chatzos and onward. And as we already discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, already for an hour, for 2 hours beforehand, so the Chachamim said you're not allowed to have chametz, you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. Good, but is there an issue of ownership in the morning? So that part is not abundantly clear from the Gemara. The Gemara itself never tells us if the issue of Bal Yerov Vayimatzeh kicks in by chatzos, or does that only start on the actual yontif itself. A simple reading of our Mishnah over here would seem to indicate that the Isser of Bal Yerov Vayimatzeh is specifically, it starts even in the afternoon. Just like on Pesach Sheni, starts in the afternoon, clearly, because that's what we're talking about with Pesach Sheni. So then for Pesach Rishon also would be the afternoon, quite possibly. Next part of the Mishnah, HaRishon Taon Halo, Ve'achilaso, Ve'ashini Einen Taon Halo Ve'achilaso. And another distinction to be made between the two is that when it comes to the Pesach Rishon, so you say halal when you eat the Karban Pesach. Same thing is true regarding Pesach. I'm sorry, not true when it comes to Pesach Sheni that there's not going to be halal when you're eating the Pesach Sheni. Now, of course, by the way, so we say halal when we're eating, obviously eating and saying halal at the same time, not to be taken super literally, obviously, but it just simply means that over the course of the meal, you're going to be saying halal. So, of course, we do that, meaning as part of the Seder. Obviously, we're talking about Pesach Rishon. So as, in the course of the Seder, so what we do is that we say halal. Actually, what we do is that we sandwich the meal in between halal, right? We start a couple paragraphs of halal at the Seder night, and then we break, and then we eat, and then we come back and we finish halal. So the truth of the matter is that, yeah, we incorporate the meal in the halal, right? That actually fits in really well with the language of the Mishnah. Right, halo bi'achilaso. Right, halo comes in together with the meal. Now, that's not true for Pesach Sheni. Why that is? The Gemara is gonna give us a source for that. Okay, so those are two points in where there is contrast, differentiation between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. One, ownership of chametz. Two, halo while you're eating the Karban Pesach. Now the Mishnah is going to give us 4 points in which they're similar. So Tan Halo Basi Hasan, when you shechtin Karm Pesach, both Rishon and Sheni, you're going to be saying Halo Nochlam Tzli. In terms of preparation, you're going to be roasting both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And on Matzah Morim, you're going to be eating it together with Matzah Morim, Pesach Rishon and Sheni. And Dochen Tzah Shabbos, and it's going to override the Shabbos as well, both Rishon and Sheni. Good. So those are in which they are similar. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara starts off the discussion over here with sourcing. We're going to see a number of brises today in the Amud Aleph in terms of the sourcing of a lot of these halachas. So we are looking in the Psukim. The Psukim to be found regarding Pesach Sheni is in Parshas Balozcha. And the Torah says, K'chol chukasa Pesach yasu aso. So the Torah is very clear that when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you're going to treat it like Pesach Rishon. All the laws that apply to Pesach Rishon are going to carry over to Pesach Sheni. Now, b'mitzvah shebegufo kasa medaber. So the Gemara now is comment. This is a Bryce's comment that we're talking about any mitzvah that's part and parcel of the carbon itself. Mitzvah shal gufo minayin. What if it's not part and parcel of the carbon, but it's there to accompany the carbon? Examples we'll give in just a moment. So tamalam ramatsa samarim yochluhu. So the Torah says, back again, parshas baloscha. That's everything is parshas baloscha. So the Torah says that you're going to be eating it together with matzah marah. Now matzah marah is not part of the actual carbon itself, but the Torah says very clearly that it is still going to come and accompany the Pesach Sheni. Yachal afilo mitzvah shelo al gufo. What about those mitzvahs that are not part and parcel of the carbon, not to accessorize the carbon, but things that are external from the carbon? So tamal amar. So that's going to be excluded. And since the Torah says etzem lo yishburu bo, which is not necessary. You're not allowed to break the bone of the carbon Pesach. Wouldn't we have known that already? Meaning, if we're saying that everything is true of the Pesach Rishon, it's also true by Pesach Sheni, so why does the Torah by Pesach Sheni have to go out of its way to repeat that you're not allowed to break the bone? It must be that it's there to tell us that the only mitzvahs that are relevant to Pesach Sheni are those that include the actual carbon itself, those that are external to the carbon. So, and now the Bryce over here doesn't give an example, Rashi does. Rashi's example over here, Hashbasa Sa'or, right, the destruction of chametz. So you don't have to do that for Pesach Sheni. Okay, so that is excluded, not included, because again of the redundancy of Etzem Lo Yishburu Bo. Isi ben Yehuda Amir Yasu Oso Ben Mitzvah Shebegufa Kasam Adabir. Now Isi ben Yehuda agrees with the point, just simply has a different pasuk that is the source of this halacha. The pasuk says Yasu Oso, you will do it, meaning the carbon, and that means to say that the only things that we're going to be doing for Karban Pesach are the only those things that are relevant to actual Karban Pesach itself. Okay, good. Adkan. That's the first brisa that we are saying. Amar Mar. The Gemara over here is going to go back, revisit this brisa, and make a couple of observations. Yachalaf mitzvah shelo agufo, hamar be mitzvah shebegufo kasa medaber. It's a little bit strange that in the sequence of the brisa, we start off with category number one, mitzvahs that are part and parcel of the carbon. Category two, mitzvahs that accessorize the carbon, like matzah maru. And then category number three, things which are external to the carbon, which are not to be which are not relevant to Pesach Sheni. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the simple question that once I know category number one, once the Torah says that the only things that affect Karban Pesach are mitzvah shebegufo, like, why do I need a drush to exclude category three, hashbasa sa'or? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hachi kamar hashad amar namatzus marim yochluhu ama yasu asolav dafkohu ema havale kiprat uklav v'nasa klav umosif ala prat. So the answer is actually very simple. Because look, let's look at the progression. First we have a drasha for mitzvah shebegufo. Good. That's kechol chukasa pesach yatsu oso. Good. And if that's what all the Torah would have said, so then obviously we would have kept it. And we would have said that it only applies, the only halachas that apply in Pesach Sheni are only those that apply to the actual carbon itself. Oh, but you see what happens now? Category number two. And you eat it together with matzah maror. Oh, so at that point in time, now we realize that the Torah is giving us an expansion. That's a klal. So now once we have an expansion, so where does it end? That's why I need the third drasha. The third drasha is to tell me, matzah marur, that's included, but anything exterior to the carbon, like the destruction of chametz, that's out of the discussion. That's why I need a drasha specifically to rule out category number three, mitzvah shelo al gufo. Isi ben Yehuda hai etza mai avilei. Gemara now is going to do its classic discussion, the back and forth, meaning we have a drasha to exclude category number three. And there are two opinions in the Braisa, Tanakam and Isi ben Yehuda. And the Gemara now is going to go through its classic back and forth. What does each do with the other's drasha? So the Gemara starts off, Isi ben Yehuda, hai etzem, my avile. What does he do with etzem losish berubo? Mi baile lechet etzem sheish bamoach, lechet etzem she'ein bamoach. A drasha to teach me that both bones with marrow, bones without marrow, are going to be subject to the itzer of breaking bones. V'rabbanan hayasu asom, my avdile. What did the Chachamim do with the drasha of Yasu Asom? Mi baile she'ein shochten sepesach al yachid. What they come to teach me is that you're not allowed to bring Pesach Sheni as an individual, and that means to say that to the best of our ability, to the best of our capability, we should bring the Pesach Sheni as a group and not as an individual. Not as an individual. Let's leave it at that. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, good. So that was our classic back and forth in the Gemara. What does each do with the other's drasha? We are up to now Braisa number two. Here on Sadi Hayamud Aleph, halfway down the Amud. Braisa number two, which is basically going to go over this information, presented in a somewhat different fashion, but it's basically the same idea. Second Braisa, Kochol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Aso, Yachol Kishim Sharishon Aser Beval Yirav Vayimatzei, Kach Sheni Aser Beval Yirav Vayimatzei. You know, by Pesach Rishon, so there's an Isser of ownership. Maybe the same thing would be true by Pesach Sheni. We're entertaining that Zahav Amin HaTam Alamar, Amatzah Samarim Yochluhu. So there we have a drush of Amatzah Samarim Yochluhu. Good. Now, Mitzvah Sesei. Now, this is true regarding Mitzvah Sesei. Mitzvah Lo Sesei Minayin. How do I know that this also applies to negative prohibition? Tamar Lama Lo Yeshir Miminu Ad Boker. You're not allowed to leave over any of the carbon till the morning. V'Einli Ela Mitzvah Lo Sesei Shinei Tek Lasei. Good. So that's a Lava Nitek Lasei. Mitzvah Lo Sesei Gamar Minayin. What about bona fide lavs that don't have a rectification? So Tamalamar ve'etzem lo yishburu bo. So that we have the pasuk of etzem lo yishburu bo. Ma pram mefurash mitzvah sase v'lo sase shenitak lase v'lo sase gamor av kol mitzvah sase v'lo sase shenitak lase v'lo sase gamor. Okay, so in this brisa we have basically we're doing the following. If I can help us organize this brisa, really structure the brisa well. Here's what just happened in the brisa. The brisa is noting that in the parsha and baloscha that describes Pesach Sheni, the Torah actually gives us three examples of which what you are and not allowed to do with the Pesach Sheni. Number one, you eat it together with matzah mara. Number two, you're not allowed to leave over come Pesach till the morning. Number three, etzem lo yishbru bo. You're not allowed to break the bone of it. Now, every one of these points that the Torah goes out of its way to detail in Pesach Sheni really becomes superfluous if you think about it. Meaning, the Torah says, kechol chukasa ha-Pesach yasu aso. Torah says that whatever's true by Pesach Rishon, you do for Pesach Sheni. So when once you have that, every one of these examples now is a redundancy. So what is understood by this Brisa? Rashi makes this point really clear. Rashi elaborates. I'm just paraphrasing Rashi. Is that what must be happening in every one of these examples is that every one of these examples is a teaching moment. A teaching moment in both directions, in two directions. One, that which is what we're supposed to do, and two, that which we're not supposed to do as it relates to Pesach Sheni. And what we're going to do, and the three categories, I'm sorry, the three examples of the Torah, the Braisa over here, beautifully, conceptually breaks into three categories. Meaning category number one, positive commandments, matzah mara. Category number two, negative prohibitions, but not just any kind of negative prohibition, but a lav hanitak la'aseh, a negative prohibition that has a correction, that there's a way to undo the negative prohibition. And then number three is going to be just regular lav. Not a lav in itak lase, but a lav gamor, right? A bona fide lav. And now what we're going to do, the Gemara is going to do, is it's going to go back to the Braisa and just really open up the Braisa. Meaning in every one of these three examples that we're given, what is on the table, what's off the table for each one of these three examples. So the Gemara now goes through this. So bichlale the mitzvos. I'm sorry, bichlale the matzos amorim ma'ika marbe. So when we say that matzos amorim, positive commandments that apply to Pesach Sheni. So number one has to be eaten in conjunction with matzah marah. So what's included with that? Sliyesh beprate. So it means that we also have to roast it. Meaning all the positive commandments associated with the actual carbon itself, eat it with Pesach with matzah marah. Roast it. Okay, good. Maima ma'ile, and what's off the table? So hashbasa sa'or. So what's off the table is the destruction of chametz. Destruction of chametz is a positive commandment, right? Obviously, it's related to, we're not allowed to own chametz, so obviously there's that relationship. But the mitzvah itself is a positive commandment, and so, therefore, which positive commandment is included? Roasting. Which positive commandment is excluding? Destroying of chametz. And why the difference? We know the answer already. The Gemara just spells it out. Epoch ana. So the Gemara says, why don't we flip it around? So mitzvah degufei adef. No, of course not. Because the roasting has to do with the Karban Pesach itself. The destruction of chametz, that has nothing to do with the Karban Pesach. Good. So bichlale delo yeshir meminu ad boker mai kamar belay. Now we're in category number two. Category number two is alavani teklasei. So what, and the example of the Torah is, don't leave any of the Karban Pesach over until the morning. Now that's a lavani taklase, because as we've gone over repeatedly, if I leave anything over into the morning, which I shouldn't have done, but if I do so, so what do? So anything left over in the morning, be'ish tisrofu, you burn it in fire. So it's a lavani taklase, the Torah gives us a remedy of how to, undo the law that was done. So, lo yeshir mimenu ad boker, mai kamar bilei. So what is coming to be included? So what's another example? And that is lo sotzi mimenu. That you're not allowed to take any of it outside. So, now that, it's an interesting example to be included, because Karban Pesach that's taken outside of its mechitza, is there a way to remedy it? And the answer, of course, is no. Meaning, once it's taken outside, so that's a psul of yotzei. So it's an interesting example of what we're including. And if you look at the parenthetical note of the Gemara, right, was it part of the original Nusach HaGemara? Probably not. But still, I'll read it. The Damilei Dehaim Mifsa Benosa Vahaim Mifsa Beyotzei. At least it's comparable because, you know, it falls into the general disqualifications of a carbon. You know, when we talk about disqualifications of a carbon, we talk about Nosar and Yotzei and Tumah. So in that regard, it's similar. Okay. Now, Beprate Maikam and Maitlei. So in category number two, now what's cut out? So the Gemara says, Lo Yirav Lo Yimatzei. The issue of ownership of chametz. That's out. Meaning, for Pesach Sheni, that is not going to be an issue for Pesach Sheni. Now, it's really interesting because the Gemara says that the ownership of chametz is a lavani taklase. Now again, if you look at that parenthetical note within the Gemara, I'll read it. The damele dahai de enoloka, dahavale lav sheni taklase, vahai enoloka, dahavale lav sheni taklase. The Gemara calls ownership of chametz on Pesach a lavani taklase. It's a pretty exciting statement. Admittedly, a parenthetical note of the Gemara, but that's a pretty exciting statement. Meaning that the Torah tells us that if you own chametz on Pesach, so you violated the law, but you're not going to get malchus. Why are you not going to get malchus? So you're not going to get malchus because there's a way to remedy the situation. How do you remedy the situation? Destroy it. The Gemara over here, again, it's a parenthetical note, but the Gemara over here clearly puts the lav of Bal Yirav Bal Yimatzei in the category of a lav nitaklasei. Which means then is that if you were reading the Rambam and you expected the Rambam to say that if you own chametz on Pesach, you're not going to get malchus. Why not going to get malchus? So what you would expect him to write, it says because it's a lav nitaklasei. I don't have the Rambam in front of me. I'm not quoting the Rambam, but it's a popular discussion. It makes for many shiurim. The Rambam doesn't write that. The Rambam does not put Bal Yirav Bal Yimatzei into the category of lav nitaklasei. So a much discussed topic in terms of why the Rambam doesn't do so. Our Gemara over here clearly does so, both in terms of the category which it puts it into, and also because of the parenthetical note that we just read. Okay, bichlale da'atzam lo yishbaru bal. We are now up to category number three, and that is bona fide lavs. What's included Pesach Sheni? What's excluded Pesach Sheni? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. So what's included? So the bona fide lav is eating the Karban Pesach while partially roasted. So that's a bona fide iser. which is included in Pesach Sheni. Beprate my kamemate, and what is excluded? Lo sishchar chametz dam zivchi, shechting carbon Pesach while in ownership of chametz. That's an iser talav. We spoke about it right, as it relates to Pesach Rishon. It doesn't apply to Pesach Sheni. So epochana, and again, the Gemara's question really straightforward, really simple. Why don't we flip it around? By the way, I skip. Yeah, I see. I skipped five words on the Amud Aleph. Right, it's going to be the same Q&A. Meaning on category number two, right? If you just look at the bottom of the previous Amud, I'm being detail oriented right now, but that's fine. That's what I'm supposed to do. So epochana mitzvah degufe adif. It's the same Q&A. So how do I know what's included, what's excluded? So again, the answer is really simple. Whatever is part of the carbon itself, included. Whatever is external from the carbon, excluded. Okay. So good. So mitzvah degufe adif. And the same Q&A as it relates to category number three as well. Okay, we are now on the top of Sadi Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, three lines from the top of the Amud. Harishon tan hala ba'achila so. When it comes to Pesach Rishon, so you're eating carbon Pesach of Pesach Rishon, and you're going to say hala while you're eating it. And it's not going to be true regarding Pesach Sheni. And the question is simply, why? Menani mili amar av yochem ishim rabbi shimran ben yehot sadak amakra. Hashir yelachem kalil hit kadash chag laila. Hitkadesh Chag. So the shir, the song that we're going to sing, it's going to be Hitkadesh Chag in sanctification of a yontov. So Laila Hamikudash Lechag Taon Hala, Laila Shem Mikudash Lechag Ein Taon Hala. So what now becomes the criteria, the prerequisite in terms of saying Hala? So it's got to be a Chag. And Rashi writes it over here really clearly. And Pesach Sheni is not a Chag. And this is not the same discussion that we had a couple of days ago, whether it's a Yom Tov B'fnei Atzmo, it's not a Yom Tov B'fnei Atzmo. It just simply means that as far as a formal Chag is concerned, where there's an Isser Malacha and there's a Karban Chagiga, etc., etc. So Pesach Sheni is not that. It is a makeup date, and when you do bring the Karban, it has a quasi-Yom Tov status, but it's not Chag. And the Navi in Yeshayahu says, in order to say Shir, which obviously over here is a reference to Halal, so it has to be a Chag. Pesach Rishon is, and Pesach Sheni is not. Now, Zevazetan and Halal Be'asiyasa, my Taima. Now, as far as when you are Shechting Karm Pesach, so you're going to say Halal. We already described it in detail regarding Pesach Rishon, how you say Halal during the Shechita. Right? Remember, there were three rounds of Shechting Karm Pesach, and the Halal was repeated in the Beis HaMikdash. Good, we went over that. Somewhere in the Samachs, right? Samach Gimel, Samach Dalid, thereabouts. Over here now, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, when you're Shechting Karm Pesach, so you're going to be saying Halal. Now why? And this is a contrast, meaning for the eating of Pesach Sheni, no Halal, but for the Shechting of Pesach Sheni, there is Halal. So Ibai Zema, Laila Kamemayit, Yomlo Kamemayit. So so one way to say it is go back to that Pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, "Ashir yalechem kalil hitkadesh chag laila." The word over there in the navi is laila. So the only thing that it's excluded is night, not day. Okay, it's a tricky drasha, meaning because it also says in the pasuk that it has to be chag, and Pesach Sheni is not a chag. All right, but anyway, that's one possibility. And then the Gemara over here provides a really interesting but circular argument, which is, well, what do you mean? You're going to shech karm Pesach, you're going to take lulav and you're not going to say halal? Meaning, of course you're going to say halal. Now, I understand that the argument really is just circular. Well, why would I say halal when I shech karm Pesach? So in typical Jewish fashion, the answer is, well, what? You're not going to say halal? Of course you're going to say halal when you're shechting karm Pesach. So the answer certainly, it ends the discussion, but it doesn't help my understanding. I'll speak for myself. It doesn't help my understanding in terms of, okay, what's the rationale? What's the reason behind it? And also it goes without saying, but I'll say it. Certainly interesting over here that in this rhetorical question of the Gemara, and you're not going to shechar Pesach, and you're not going to take lulav, and I'm sorry, you're going to shechar Pesach, and you're going to take lulav, and you're not going to say hello, right? The Gemara thought it was like a no-brainer, a non-starter of a discussion that, of course, when you do these mitzvahs, of course you're going to say hello. Where's the of course? And why is lulav over here in the obvious statement of, well, of course you're going to say halal. So good. So it definitely, the Gemara over here demands more attention and more explanation and the connection between Karm Pesach and lulav and how are they connected? Okay. There's a Ritva in the third parak of Sukkah, equating the two. Anyway, let's go on. V'nechalam sli, we are going to talk now about the roasting. So, I'm sorry, incorrect. Correct statement. We're going now to the end of the Mishnah. We're rounding out the Mishnah. We noted the similarities between Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, and we noted that it overrides Shabbos. So the Gemara over here notes that in the Mishnah, something is conspicuously absent from the Mishnah. What's absent from the Mishnah? So Shabbos and Tumah lo. It overrides Shabbos, but it does not override Tumah, which means to say it's as follows. If the 14th day of Iyar falls on a Shabbos, okay. So the 14th of Iyar, it's Moed. The Torah gives a fixed appointed time in which you're going to be bringing Pesach Sheni. So if you're now in the category of person that's bringing Pesach Sheni, you're going to offer Karm Pesach even though it's going to override the Shabbos. That part we get. Here's the part which is conspicuously absent from the Mishnah, and that is it doesn't override Tumah. Meaning, let's say your tummy. If your tummy, now, it's hard to get to a scenario in which the majority of the Jewish people are going to be tummy for Pesach Sheni. But that's not even the point. The point is that you didn't bring Pesach Rishon. This is now going to be your second and final chance to bring Karban Pesach this year. And let's say for Pesach Sheni, you also happen to be Tameh. So a simple inference of the Mishnah is that it's going to be unfortunate, but you're not going to bring Pesach Sheni because there is no Dechiyah as it relates to Tumah. That seems to be the simple pshat of our Mishnah. So Masis and Deloka Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, yes, that's correct. And you should know that this is a point of controversy. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Dochas HaShabbos Vein Dochas HaTumah. So here the Tanakam of the Braisa, like our Mishnah, like the inference of our Mishnah, Pesach Sheni overrides a Shabbos but doesn't override Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Doche Es HaTumah, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that it overrides Tumah. My time at the Tanakam Mimnei Tumah, So now, arguments over here, the Gemara says for the Tanakhama, it's a really simple argument. If you're getting pushed off for Pesach Rishon because of Tuma, so what, now you're going to bring a Pesach Sheni in a state of Tuma? I mean, that's the whole reason why you pushed off from Pesach Rishon. And Rabbi Yehuda, Torah Chazra, Alav, La Sosa Batara, Lo Zacha Yaso Batuma. And then the counter argument, which the Gemara provides for Rabbi Yehuda, look, you tried your best. Meaning, you couldn't do it on Pesach Rishon because you were Tameh. Maybe what the Torah says is that, okay, Pesach Sheni is a makeup, and however, which way you can make it up, even though you're in a state of Tumah, still make it up. Okay, so really, you can argue both directions. The Gemara does so. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes another Braisa, Pesach Rishon, Dochas HaShabbos, Pesach Sheni, Dochas HaShabbos, Pesach Rishon, Dochas HaTumah, Pesach Sheni, Dochas HaTumah. So here in this Braisa, the Braisa just casually says, like the Shita Rav Yehuda, that both Pesach Rishon and Sheni are going to override both Shabbos and Tumah. Now, Pesach Rishon Taon Lina, Pesach Sheni Taon Lina. Another similarity is this requirement of Lina. Lina comes up every now and then. The idea behind Lina is the day in which you bring Karban Pesach, don't go home that day. But rather, there is a requirement to stay overnight. Right? There's a mandate, that you have to stay a night and you can't go home that day. Now, often is a time that, it's Yantav and you're not going to be able to go home that day. But even if that were taken out of the discussion, I mean, let's say for whatever reason, right? The Karban Chagiga and Chol HaMoed. Don't go home that day, but stay over the night. So, Dochas HaTumah Kaman Karev Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, now just a simple observation of the Braisa. The Braisa says that Pesach Sheni overrides Tumah. So that goes like Shitas Rav Yehuda. Good. Ula Rav Yehuda Taon Lina Va'atanya. Now the Gemara says, okay, but now that we've identified authorship of the Braisa like Rav Yehuda, so we're going to get stuck a little bit because at the end of the Braisa, there's also this Lina requirement, not only true by Pesach Rishon, but true by Pesach Sheni as well. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Braisa, Rav Yehuda Omer. Minayin LePesach Sheni Shein Taon Lina Shenemar Ufanisa Baboker V'Halachta Lo Alecha Uksiv Sheish Yisem Tocha Matzos. So, we have over here a hekesh, a smichus psukim, where the Torah talks about the mitzvah of lina, right? The Torah says, ufanisa baboker, you wake up the next morning to go home. not the day you bring the carbon. And then, next pasuk, Parshas Re'eh, Sheshes Yamim Tocha Matzos. And so now the Gemara darshins, Hanecha L'shisha Ton Lina, Shein Hanecha L'shisha Ein Ton Lina. So if you have this requirement of eating eating matzah the next 6 days, so that person has the mitzvah of lina. But by Pesach Sheni, you don't have that. There is no mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days. The only mitzvah by Pesach Sheni is only to eat matzah in conjunction with your Karm Pesach. So therefore, there's no mitzvah of lina. Good. That's what the author of this brisa. By the way, we know who the author of the brisa is. It starts off with Rav Yehuda. Says that there is no mitzvah of lina as it relates to Pesach Sheni. And so now, one brisa who we identified as Rabbi Yehuda says there is a mitzvah of lina. Second brisa, which is clearly going like Rabbi Yehuda, says there is no mitzvah of lina. Answer of the Gemara, Trei Tanai Valibit to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Various reports of what Rabbi Yehuda taught in the Beis Medrash. And okay, so we have a machlokis of Misora in terms of what Rabbi Yehuda said. We're on the Mishnah on Sadi Hamad Beis, a Pesach Shabbat B'tumah lo yochlu mimenu. So the Karm Pesach that's brought B'tumah. So who can partake of it? Those who were Tameh Meis. So right, the majority of the Jewish people are in fact Tameh. So they can eat now, partake of Pesach Rishon. Who is not allowed to eat Pesach Rishon in a state of Tumah? So lo yochlu mimenu. Zavim v'zavas nidos v'yolodos. V'im achlu p'tur mikare. So anybody who is Tameh with any other form of Tumah, Zav, male, female, Ainida, O Yoledes. So they are not given this dispensation of eating the Pesach Rishon B'tumah. It's only those who are Tamei Meis. Now the Gemara says, now on one hand, they do not have a dispensation. On the other hand, they're going to be Patur from Kares, meaning they're not allowed to eat the Pesach Rishon in their state of Tumah. But if they do so, they're not going to be subject to Kares. And Rabbi Eliezer Potter Af Al Bias HaMikdash. And Rabbi Eliezer says that the exemption actually also is going to be from walking into the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning when you're Tameh, there are two activities that you are restricted. You're restricted from eating carbon, you're restricted from going into the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Tanakhama, even though you don't have a heter to eat carbon Pesach if you're any other type of Tumah, anything other than Tumas Meis. So you don't have a heter to eat carbon, but you do get a relief from Kares if you do so. And what Rabbi Eliezer says is that that's not only talking about Tumah as it relates to carbon, that's also relating to Tumah as it relates to Bias HaMikdash as well. Tanu Rabban in the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. Zavim, Zavos, Nidos, Yolado, She'achlu BePesach, Sheba BeTumah Yachlu Yuchayavim. So look, Ahav Amina would have been as follows. They're not afforded the heter to eat Karm Pesach, so therefore I might have entertained, I could make a really good argument, that therefore they should be chayv kares if in fact they eat the carbon. So tamalamer kotal yochal basar, v'anefesh esher tocha basar mizevach hashlamim ashel Hashem, v'tumas alav v'nichrasam. So what we're going to do now is we're going to string a couple of psukim together in the seventh parak of Vayikra, where the Torah first gives the instructions that only a Torah person can eat carbon, and somebody who's tameh is going to be subject to kares. And now when you put these psukim together, here's the conclusion. So, nechal atarim chayav alav mishum tamei, v'sheinu nechal atarim ein tameim chayav alav mishum tamei. So only when tar people eating carbon is there going to be a kares penalty for a tummy person to eat. But when Pesach is ba b'tuma, so now you see that tummy people are eating eating carbon, so then the iser kares is taken off the table. Again, it's a balance. They're not allowed to eat the Karm Pesach, but the Karis now is removed from the equation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yachol Dachu Zav Menichnasu LaAzara BePesach Chabad B'Tumah Yachol Yuchayavim. So now in the Braisa, we continue in the Braisa. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. What if they go into the Beis HaMikdash? They're going to be chayiv, right? Because we know that when somebody's tummy going into the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayiv kares. So tamalamar vishach min amachane kol tzaru v'chol zav v'chol tamal hanefesh bizman shetumei meisim mishtachim zavim mitzorim mishtachim ein tumei meisim mishtachim ein zavim mitzorim mishtachim. So here now we go to the beginning of Parshas Naso, where the psukim over here give us the rules of who is to be excluded from the area of the Mikdash. And we're darshaning that only when the Tamei Meis is to be barred and banned from the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so then there's going to be an Issur Kares. But once Tamei Meis are allowed entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. in the case of Pesach Chabad B'Tumah, so now Kares is again taken off the table. This is according to Rabbi Eliezer. By Rav Yosef, Ad Kan Divrei HaBraisa, and this morning we're going to finish up with just simply one Q&A. By Rav Yosef, Dachku to me mesem v'nichnasu lahechal bePesach haba b'tumah mahu. So, question. Let's say you're a tamei mes. It's Pesach haba b'tumah. So, you are allowed entrance into the Azara. So, this is a most unusual year in which, even though under normal circumstances, you're tamei mes and you go into the Azara, you're going to be subject to kares, but obviously Pesach haba b'tumah. So, there's a dispensation, a heter. Again, going back to what we learned earlier in the sixth parak, is it hutra, is it tuchuya, however you want to say it, there's an allowance to go into the Azara. So Rav Yosef's question over here, first question, right, we'll stop with the first question, we'll answer it, but the first question is, okay, so now that they have an allowance to go into the Azara, which is normally a restricted area for a person in his tummy, now let's say, look, they're in the Azara, in the most unusual circumstance while being tummy, question, can they now go into the Heichal? Now, a person who, even under normal circumstances, when you're not Tamei, so generally speaking, nobody goes into the Heichal. Now, I'm not talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just talking about into the actual building itself. So, obviously, a Kohen is going to be there on a daily basis in terms of the Halakas HaMenorah. Weekly, you're going to be there for the being Masad or the Shulchan. Certain chatos are sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. Okay, yeah, good. But generally speaking, it's an area that is restricted to enter. And now, compounded that with a person who's Tamei, and he goes now into the Heichal. So, v'nichnasu l'Heichal b'Pesach haba b'tumah. So in this most unusual year, it's Pesach haba b'tumah. And now he's in the Azara, which under normal circumstances would have been illegitimate, but he has an allowance to do so. So now, mahu. So the Gemara says, so, kaven de hutra hutra, right? That's not exactly the Gemara's language over here, but in a number of other places, that's the language of the Gemara. So once an allowance is given, so basically, carte blanche, a total allowance. Odilma, my dishtari, shtari, my delo, ishtari, lo, ishtari. Or maybe no. Maybe we don't say that. Maybe we don't say that carte blanche, and the only dispensation is going to be given is to be in the Azara. But that's it. But not to go into the Heichal. So Amar Rav, Amar Krav, Vishachem and Amachana, Afilam Mixas Machana. So one way to answer it is that the Vishachem and Amachana, even Mixas Machana, meaning even partial ejection is considered an ejection, which means to say that we are going to compartmentalize. And just because you're allowed into one point of entry does not necessarily mean that you're allowed into every area. Igadami, another way to say it, I'm a Rav, I'm a Krav, Vishachem and Amachana, El Michutz Amachana Teshachom, Kohecha de Karina Bey El Michutz Amachana Teshachom, Karina Bey Vishachem and Amachana. Another way to say it, is that once you are ejected from part of the Machana, so then we could say that you're going to be ejected from the entire Machana. The way the Gemara seems to be answering it in this Ika Damre is that once you're allowed entrance, you can go around where you want. That seems to be how the Gemara concludes on this Ika Damre. I'm not particularly sure if that's correct, but that's the way it seems to be. Icon will stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with question number two, right? The last line of the Amud. Okay, and so quickly to recap our daf today. So first part of today's daf, which is really the most, covered most of the daf, and that is in what ways are Pesach Sheni similar to Pesach Rishon, and in what ways are they different than Pesach Rishon. And basically the way to organize the information is that we can break it up into three categories. Mitzvah Shebegufo, Mitzvah She'al Gufo, and Mitzvah Shelo Al Gufo. Mitzvah Shebegufo, anything that relates to the actual carbon Pesach itself, the roasting of the carbon Pesach. So that is going to apply to Pesach Sheni. Anything that is al gufo, accessorizes the carbon Pesach, like eating matzah maror, that also is included in Pesach Sheni. And things that have no relevance to the actual carbon Pesach itself, like the ownership of chametz, so that is not associated with Pesach Sheni. Good. In the part two of this discussion on Sadi Hamad Beis, I'm sorry, Sadi Hamad Alf, but the second half of the Amud. So there, the way the Braisa organizes it, three examples in the Torah which apply to Pesach Sheni. After having said Kachol Chukasa Pesach Yasu Oso, then the Torah gives three examples. So each one of the three examples is there to describe a category and to include and to exclude. Number one, Matzah Marim Yochlu. The Torah says you have to eat it with Matzah Marah. What do we include with that? Roasting. Again, because it has to do with the carbon itself. What do we exclude? Destroying chametz. And in category number one, that's a mitzvah essay. Category number two, lo yashir mimenu, don't leave over carbon Pesach until the morning. That's a lav ani taklase. What's included in that? Not to take it out of Yerushalayim. What's excluded? Lo yera'eh bal yira'eh bal yimatzeh, which is the Gemara over here seems to clearly put that in the category of lav ani taklase. And then finally, category number three, etzem lo yishburu bo. Etzem lo yishburu bo is a lav, it's a bona fide lav. What's included? The iser of not partially roasting carbon Pesach. That's a lav. It's a bona fide lav. What's excluded? Lo sishcha lachametz dam zivchi. Don't shech the carbon Pesach while owning chametz. That's excluded. Good. And that got us to the Amud Beis. On the Amud Beis, we noted halal. No halal when you're eating Pesach sheni, but halal when you're shechting Pesach sheni. During the avoda, you're going to be saying halal. Either it's because of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, it only excludes night, not day, or, right, certainly an interesting line which demands much more attention. How could it possibly be you're shechting carbon Pesach, or you're going to take the lulav and sukkahs and you're not going to say halal? Of course you're going to say halal. Again, an answer that needs much more elaboration. Continuing, next part of the daf we did today was, is Pesach Sheni override Shabbos? Does it override Tumah? Point of controversy. Machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah is following like the Chachamim. It does not override Tumah. Rav Yehuda says that it does override Tumah. And last, and not least, in terms of the first sugya, the mitzvah of Lina. When you offer a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to stay overnight the night after you offer the carbon. Is that true by Pesach Sheni? Once again, point of controversy. Here the controversy is within the Shita of Rev Yehuda. Okay, next, Mishnah. Pesach Sheba B'toma, Lo Yochlu Mimenu. The carbon Pesach that's brought in a state of Tumah. We're back at Pesach Rishon, and we're talking about where the majority of the Jewish people are Tami Meis. So now the Pesach is going to be brought in a state of Tumah. But only those who are Tamei Meis are allowed to eat Pesach Rishon. What about anyone else who's Tamei for any other reason? Ezav, Ezav, Anida, Yoledes. So, the halach is that they cannot eat Pesach Rishon. They cannot partake of it. Although the Isser Karis is taken off the table. According to Rabbi Eliezer, not only is the Isser Karis taken off the table for eating Karban, but also for going into the Beis HaMikdash as well. And the Gemara gave us the drushas that support the Shita, the Tanakhama, the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And the first question that we explored this morning, if it's Pesach Chaba B'toma and your Tamei Meis and you're allowed to go into the Azara, does it also mean you're allowed to go into the Heichal as well? And the Gemara gave a couple of ways in terms of how to address that. Adkan.